The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
These high-definition pictures of how we should live our lives in our homes will only be there if we let the Word of Christ dominate our lives. So the reverse of that, the converse of that, is this. If we do not let the Word of Christ dwell in our hearts richly, then we will never develop a high-definition picture in the home. Okay? I'm glad you and I understand that. Amen, Pastor Christian. Are you awake tonight? Now then, if you don't let the Word of Christ dwell richly in your life, then you will have a very hard time adhering to the following duties. Hello? You will fidget against it. You will object against the writings of the Apostle Paul. You will find every object imaginable to object against this word.
We get in trouble when we do not saturate our lives in the Word of God. This is the reason why we disobey, because we do not let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Thus we forfeit our peace. Husbands do not love their wives, won't have peace. Wives do not submit to their husbands, won't have peace. Children don't obey, won't have peace. So we're all in trouble. Hello, my friends. My name is Mark, and welcome to our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in beautiful Southern California. Let's listen now to Pastor Christian expound Colossians 3, 18 through 21.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That is the word of the Lord, and may He bless it in our hearing this evening. You may be seated. Can I ask you, Usher, to come over here and distribute this? If you have not gotten an outline which we used in Sunday school, there is a chart here which is very important in our relationship one with another with regards to husbands and wives. That will come in handy in just a few minutes here. We used that in our Sunday school program for the adults, and one item of importance there is the back of it, also with practical ideas, what to pray for your wife and what to pray for your husband. And so we will be referring to that briefly in the course of our exposition of these verses tonight. Tonight, the Apostle Paul gives us yet more high-definition pictures of the resurrection life. What does resurrection life look like in our homes? This is what the Apostle Paul is giving to us tonight. By the way, let me be very clear at the onset of this preaching of the living of the resurrection life, that the following high-definition pictures, the verses that we read, listen now, are developed only where the Word of Christ has saturated our mind, our heart, and hand. That is, listen carefully, where the word of Christ does not saturate your intellect and emotions and volition, there will be no high definition that will be developed. Do you get me? These high definition pictures of how we should live our lives in our homes will only be there if we let the word of Christ dominate our lives. So the reverse of that, the converse of that, is this. If we do not let the word of Christ dwell in our hearts richly, then we will never develop a high definition picture in the home. Okay? I'm glad you and I understand that. Amen, Pastor Christian. Are you awake tonight? Now then, if you don't let the word of Christ dwell richly in your life, then you will have a very hard time adhering to the following duties. Hello? You will fidget against it. You will object against the writings of the Apostle Paul. You will find every object imaginable to object against this word. Okay? You will think of him as a male chauvinistic pig, as they say. You will think of him as a purveyor of an antiquated, outdated principles of life which worked millennia before, but now do not. If you're not careful, if you didn't let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, you will fidget against this. Furthermore, the verses that we read tonight are found, you have to understand this, the verses that we read tonight are found within a context. What do I mean by that? There is a context with regards to the verses that we read tonight. And what's the context? What is the context besides the ones I've already told you, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly? What's the context? What do you mean, Pastor Christian, by that? Well, look at the verses around it. What is the closest verse to the verses that we read? We started reading in verses 18 through 22. What's the verse before that? Verse number 17. And what does it say? This is the context of it. What does it say? Whatever, or let's see, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So this is the context of the verses that we read. What does it mean? Well, it means that everything must be done proportionately, everything must be done properly, and everything must be done prayerfully. Where did you get that, Pastor Christian? Well, I got that from verse number 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Jesus Christ, by Him. Why proportionately? Because the resurrection life has to be word and what, class? Deed. Christian life is not just words. It is proportionately words and deeds. Are you following me? John Phillips wrote this. He says, the Christian life is not all words, whether songs or sermons, it is also deeds. We have a great commission to fulfill. We have a healthy balance to maintain. Listen, for too many people, Christianity is all talk. End quote. You say, why do you say properly? Well, because the resurrection life has to be done. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's to be done properly. In another text, the Apostle Paul gives this instruction in the context of the church life and ministry. 1 Corinthians 14:40, it says, let all things be done decently and in order. Why prayerfully? Well, because the resurrection life has to be lived under the shadow of that wonderful and lovely name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I was asked to do an invocation and a benediction yesterday for a detachment of soldiers who came back from the Middle East fighting the global war on terror. They had a welcome home ceremony there, and it was held in the campus of one of the largest churches in America today. I will leave it unnamed. The speakers there recounted their relationships to the deployed detachment and how thankful they were to so-and-so and so-and-so, and how thankful they were to such and such that the soldiers were able to accomplish their mission and to all of them to get back safely and soundly. You know what's missing there? There was something missing there. No giving thanks were directed even remotely to God Almighty and the Father through Jesus Christ. I guess we should expect that from the world, right? The world doesn't care about the things of God, nor do they care where all these blessings come from. The scripture is very clear that all these perfect and good gifts come from the Father above. The only consolation, as I was sitting down there in that group, the only consolation I had was that, well, that's why they invited me, right? Because they leave it to the chaplain to do the thanksgiving to God and live and to give the thanksgiving to God and Father through Jesus Christ. So I did. I prayed. I said, in the final analysis, Lord, we come to You with gratefulness because You are the one who granted them protection. You are the one who granted them the physical abilities to stay safe and to give all the 1-point-something million or even 7 million ammunitions to fight against ISIS there. You are the one who gave all of that strength. And so we give thanks to You in Jesus' name. Amen. We ought to have a similar zeal for the Lord. Every believer will have the jealousy for God to be acknowledged and to be thanked always. And so let us be a people who never neglect to give thanks to God and the Father through Jesus. Verse 17 tells us, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." That is proportionately, and that is properly. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, that is prayerfully. We do life with all of those adjectives that I gave you. And so now we come to verse 18 through 21, where we see high definition pictures of the resurrection life in the home. Apostle Paul, you're getting personal. The Apostle Paul is getting very personal here. Well, let me console you. This is the word of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, superintended by the Holy Spirit of God, was moved by God, the Holy Spirit, to write these words for the Colossians, and by extension, to you and to me today at Riverside Baptist Church in Southern California. So let's look at these high-definition pictures tonight. Number one, simply we have wives. Submit yourselves unto your own husband. Husbands, wives, submit yourselves and to your own husbands. Have you ever played Bible picture frame game? Have you ever played that? Growing up in the Philippines church, I remember going to youth camp for the very first time, meeting like-minded young people from all over the island of Mindanao. It was a lot of fun. It was so exciting playing the Bible picture frame game. We did one that depicted the wedding at Cana. And there were probably 15 or 20 in my group, and there were several groups represented there. And we were given 2 minutes to depict the wedding at Cana. So we would have sort of a rabbi standing like this, and then we had a girl on this side and a guy on this side, you know, pretending to be the ones who were married in this wedding ceremony at Cana in John chapter 2, if you're asking where this is coming from. And then the people standing there, some are sitting down like this, you know, pretending they're sitting down like that. And we were given 2 minutes to perform this. And then at the 2 minute mark, we were to freeze. And then the judges would come around and say, okay, yeah, this one looks like the wedding at Cana. So you have a rabbi going like this, and then the girl, you know, I don't remember what she was doing, but she was, you know, doing something like this, and then the people sitting down like that. And for a long time, they would freeze like that as a Bible picture frame of the wedding at Cana. And as the judges went around, you know, putting grades to them, and one group would win the prize. It was an exciting game. Well, let's bring that to our church here tonight. What would wives submit to your own husbands look like in a Bible picture frame? Should we illustrate this? How should we do this? Brittany, will you volunteer here tonight and see and give us a high definition of what submit to your husband looks like? Can you picture it? A wife with a submissive face and submissive facial expression, and a husband. Can you picture that tonight? Well, this is what the Apostle Paul is giving us. The word submit, translate the Greek hupotassesti, which means to be appointed or ordered under. It is a word which means submission under authority. It is a military word. A Bible scholar said the present tense reveals that the wife is to choose this as an abiding attitude, not simply when such feelings may arise, not only when I feel like it. Ouch! This is the high definition of a picture of a wife submitting herself to her husband. Such submission is to be the ongoing pattern of a wife's relationship to her husband. And of course, the imperative mood makes it obligatory. She is to be willingly obedient is the injunction of God. But Pastor Christian, I have an objection. Doesn't the New Testament, in a broader view, doesn't the New Testament teach that all wives, husbands, children, masters, employees, all believers are supposed to be subject to one another? Doesn't the New Testament teach that, Pastor Christian? And the answer is what? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So then, let me see if I'm getting ahead of myself here. Nope, I'm not. No one is exempt from submitting to authority, whether you're a wife or a husband or a child or anybody in the church. You and I are subject to authority. The Apostle Paul says this in other books of the Bible. Put them in mind. Who's the them there? Well, both husbands and wives. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And then in another text, he says, let every soul, what's every soul? Well, that's everybody, right? That's everybody in the church. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And then yet in another book, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So no person is exempt from being subject to authority. Amen to that. But where am I going with this? But in the case of the biblical structure of the home, the wives are to what? Submit to their own husbands. Well, Pastor Christian, if it is true that every believer should be subject to one another, what does it look like for husbands to submit to their wives? I'm glad you asked the question, because it's written for us right in the next verse. What does it look like for a husband to submit to his wife? Look at verse number 19. What does it say, class? Husbands, love your wives. That's what it looks like for husbands to submit to their wives. Husbands, love your wives is the second frame of picture that we are shown of how the resurrection life should look like in the home. Now, how do we Bible picture frame game that one? How do we do that? You had an image in your mind what the first one looked like. What does husband love your wives look like? Can I suggest to you that you look at the cross of Jesus Christ? Of all the pictures in the universe, God chooses the picture of a husband loving his wife as his picture of Christ loving the church as his bride. So let me suggest to you tonight that that high definition picture of a husband loving his wife is a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. And even it says it in the book of Acts that he purchased the church with his own blood. With his own blood. I say, for the husband, that's the way you submit to your wife, to give even your life for her. Husband, do you love your wives like that? Husband, are you willing to give even your life to love your wife? Love is from the Greek word agapete, which means the highest quality of love there is in the world. It supersedes the love of a mother for a child or the love of a father for a child. It supersedes the love of a brother to another brother. It supersedes the love of a husband and a woman. It supersedes all of that. Although all of those loves are included in that highest quality of love, agape is the love of God, the highest quality of love there is in the world. But there's a second part to that verse about husbands, isn't there? What's the second part of that verse? And be not what? Bitter against them, against the wives. Do we understand that? What does that mean? Husbands, what kind of things our wives do which embitter us? A messy house to go home to? An unbalanced checkbook? Kids are dirty? Unmet expectations or assumptions which were never communicated in the first place? Now, it's amazing that the Apostle Paul wrote these words. Well, if you think about it, it's not really amazing because the Holy Spirit knows what goes on in the home, doesn't he? But he says, don't let those things embitter you. Don't let those things make you angry. In Revelation, it is used literally of something that goes into the stomach and brings bitterness and a violent response. Don't let these things embitter you. In this verse, this word is used to hint at anger and resentment and bitterness of spirit. Do not allow yourselves, men, to be that against your wife. Do not allow anything to develop inside you, things which cause bitterness toward the wife. Do not allow things inside you which will fruition into harsh and bitter words and actions toward her. Number three, children, obey your parents in some things, all things. This is the third frame of picture that we are shown of how the resurrection life should look like in the home. Children, from the Greek word ta tekna, includes offsprings without regard to their age. Did you get that? Offsprings without regard to their age who are under the protection and provision of their parents. What does that mean? If you're living under your parents' roof, this is for you. Obey your parents in all things. Follow them. Be subject to them. Again, this theme comes back, right? Everybody is subject to one another. And so here the Apostle Paul uses the same theme, taken from the theme that all are subject to all authorities. All believers are subject to one another, as in Ephesians 5:21. My children have only two jobs in the world. Okay? I would love to be a child again, to have only two jobs in the world. And what are your jobs, girls? To do what? To obey your mommy and daddy and to love one another. So to love one another is their first job. And the second job is to obey mommy and daddy. That's it. What a wonderful childhood. Only two jobs. That is your jobs, children. Here's a great quote to ponder. Quote, the first place a child learns to relate to authority is in the home. If parents fail to instill the lessons of submission and appreciation of legitimate authorities, society as a whole will never be able to right the whip. Such a child will meet with difficulty at every turn. If they can't learn authority in the home, they will not obey the police outside. And that's when we have problems. Now, we go to number four tonight, and it is simply this, verse number 21. What does it say? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger lest they be discouraged is the fourth frame of picture that we are shown of how the resurrection life should look like in the home. Notice that the Apostle Paul specifically addresses the fathers here. Some scholars argue for the fact that this is parents, not just mom and dad. But you saw the other rendition of that Greek word. There's another Greek word for parents, as there is a Greek word just for fathers. And we saw that right here in our text. Earlier it says, children, obey your. It doesn't say fathers. So there's that Greek word for parents, translated in our English as parents. And here we have a specific Greek word, which is translated in our English Bible, fathers. So this verse is directed to the fathers. Now, fathers, pay attention. How are children provoked to wrath and discouraged? Let me give you just a few instances here, or just a few ideas of how we might do this. Number one, children are provoked to wrath when their fathers are hypocrites. When their fathers are inconsistent, double standard, or when he says, do as I say and not what I'm doing. That is an item for provocation of your children and discouragement. Another one, children are provoked to anger when their parents ignore biblical roles of husband and wife. Hey, can I just remind you that little eyes see you and they're everywhere. And can I just submit to you, they know what your biblical role is supposed to be, mom. They know what your biblical role is supposed to be, dad. And if in any way you perverse that, your children know it. Never underestimate what your children know and the expectation that they have of you to fulfill your biblical roles. And when you renege on that, devastation will happen in the life of your children. I rarely do this, but sometimes I would sit with my wife and watch those girly chick, what do you call them? Chick flick, right? From Hallmark or something like that, right? And there was an episode in there, and the girls were there too. You know, this is rated G, right? And they didn't even specifically say it, but there was just a portrayal there of a husband cheating on his wife. And I forget who it was, but I think she was only 5 years of age at that time. She turns to me and she says, Daddy, you're not going to do that to mommy, are you? 5 years of age. They know and understand what you're supposed to do with regards to biblical roles and responsibilities. And children are provoked to anger when you, mom and dad, especially dad, ignore your biblical roles of a husband and wife. And that's why I gave you that chart that you have in your hand with regards to your roles and responsibilities as husband and wife. A husband is supposed to submit to the wife by what? By being willing to die for his wife. A loving leadership And then the wife is supposed to intelligently and humbly submit to the husband. You go on the right extreme or extreme on the right, you're wrong. You go on the extreme on the left, you're wrong. You are perverting the role and responsibility that is given to you by God. Children become resentful against parents when they promise to do something and not keep their word. How many children are discouraged because dad said this or mom said that and they didn't keep the word? Parents, you are provoking your children when you promise to do something and not keep your word. And so at this point, you may say, you know, I've blown it, Pastor. I've done that many times. What do I do? Well, I submit to you. Tell them you were wrong. Ask them for forgiveness and pray to God to help you fulfill your promises. Pastor James says this very clearly. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. End of question. Another item here. Children become embittered when parents value their career life or social life more than they value the spiritual life. Can I get an amen on that? When you act like social life is more important to you, when you act like your career is more important to you, that you don't have time for your children, you are provoking them to wrath. You're provoking them to anger. Parents, the physical life that we can see is not the ultimate reality. Spiritual life is. When you neglect the spiritual welfare of your children, you have missed the real meaning of what it is to be a biblical parent. Aren't you concerned at all that your sons or daughters will end up in hell because their spiritual welfare is nothing to you? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but loses what? His own soul in hell. Let me leave you with three applications tonight. Number one, it is only as the word of Christ dwells in us richly that we can behave like this. So what are you supposed to do? What am I supposed to do then? Do what? To read the Bible and let the word of Christ saturate your mind. Let you be immersed in His word so that you can do this. Number two, Christ, not current, not popular culture, defines what is fitting and proper in our relationships. If you're a keen observer and a diligent student of the Word of God, you observe tonight that I left out a couple of items. Did you notice that? I left out two second parts of two verses. I didn't even talk about them. I didn't even read them. Well, I read them, but I just kind of leave them out. What were those? What are those? Can you tell me? What did I leave out? Look at the first verse that we have tonight. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. As it is fit in the Lord. What's the second one that I left out? Verse 20. Look at that. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Why did I do that? Pastor Christian, why did you leave those out? Because I want you to realize that the one big foundation for the instructions of the Apostle Paul for the family relationships today is what? God designed it. And it is God whom we should please, not the father, not the mother, Certainly not the children, not the popular culture, not the political correctness, not the politicians, not the CPS, but who? The one who designed the family. So if you have any objection to the seemingly antiquated principles that we have in Scripture, to whom do you then direct your objections? Not to me as your pastor. Not to the Apostle Paul as the writer. But to whom? The creator and the designer of the family. Now then, I think we ought to end right there. But here's a third one and last one tonight. Third application is really an admission. If you're here this evening and you say, you know, judging by the standards of Scripture, Pastor Christian, I'll be the first one to admit to you that I've blown it as a parent. My children do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Or you may say even, my children say they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but by the life that they live, I don't know if Jesus Christ knows them. I have blown it as a parent. What can I do? Well, I'm going to humbly submit to you. Go to God. Pour out your heart to the Lord. Seek forgiveness. Seek for guidance and advice from other godly parent or grandparent. Because there's safety in a multitude of counselors. Seek them out. Ask them, what did you do? Help me. What ideas do you have to bring my children to the Lord? Ask him for wisdom. How are you supposed to go about biblically parenting your adult children? Apply the principles you learn from the teaching of Scriptures, even the ones tonight.
Thank you for listening to our commuter CD from RBC. I hope and pray that you are blessed by the content of this CD. In March 2020, our church hosted a family conference, and there are 6 audio resources available on our website, which reinforce the sermon you just heard. Simply select Family Conference 2020 on the sermon menu. For more information, please call our church office at 951-687-6106 or visit our website at www.rbcsoquel.com. My name is Mark, and I hope to see you again next time on our commuter CD.